The RMB Africa Focus series with Crystal Alderson is brought to you by RMB, a banking partner in tune with Africa. RMB is a leading African corporate and investment bank. Think Africa, think RMB. It's that time of the week where we sit down for a conversation with our colleague Crystal Alderson, who looks at all things on the African continent, and in particular, things that are shaping the African economy and the economies of all the component countries. Crystal, welcome. Transport and logistics. There's so much has been said about, you know, getting Africa connected, be it road, be it rail, be it airlines that will connect places more. And of course, there's the possibility of sea traffic. How are we doing there? Is any real progress being made?
Hi, good afternoon, John. I think so. I mean, firstly, if we look at the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, which is going to be the largest free trade agreement in the world, part of its success is ensuring that we have transport and logistics in place. Now, it's not the most sexiest of terms, but having traveled across the continent, John, you do see how trucks absolutely deliver not only rural to urban, but also getting those goods and services to ports. And we see, for instance, that, you know, the majority of African states, 38 out of 54, are actually coastal or coastal cities. And then it means we have more than 100 ports. So essentially, goods and services are traveling by sea here in Africa. And if we want to get free trade going, we need to get our ports right. And I thought it was interesting, RMB, for instance, they facilitated a massive deal and a loan to the Ghana Ports and Harbours Authority. And I thought it's interesting to zoom in. I spent some time at their port, which is the Tema port, largest in West Africa. You know, close to 1,500 boats come out every day, or ships at least. And ultimately, what they use the money for, John, is to get their digitization right. Now, West Africa and Ghana in particular, major exporter of gold and cocoa, second largest in the world. Yeah. So it means you have to get...
We need our chocolate.
Absolutely, John. And so they need to get that right. And so I think it was interesting to look at what they use the money for. For instance, digitization, getting, you know, just vessels and cargo, you know, kind of getting the technology to them, and how that, for instance, has helped, you know, the port to actually become more effective.
So, I mean, it's fascinating that you visited that port, and, you know, people always say, well, you know, technology, we need more technology. There must have been very careful planning, because, you know, they wouldn't be the first entity to spend a huge amount on tech and say, oh, we've bought all this stuff, but we're not exactly sure what it's for. I would assume some very careful planning went into that.
Absolutely, John, because I think, you know, operating a port takes some work and takes some innovation.
Yes.
So a simple thing what they did was investing in scanners, because if you don't get your scanners right, that's where you can get a lot of illegal things happening. Also, West Africa, there's piracy. And so the port took into account all of that. And so just that investment, for instance, reduced fraud. They were able to get cargo clearances much quicker, and just around invoices, there were a lot of false invoices.
Right.
They were able, through this digitization process, get that small leakages fixed, and so that they could become more effective.
So I don't know how many ports you visited, and there are plenty of them, but do you get a sense that something like that can become a template for somebody else, another country, to do a similar kind of upgrade? Because I know every place is slightly different history, different commodities moving in and out. But I would have thought if that's a good system, more people could use it.
I think so, John. But for instance, I can't say we can say that for Nigeria,
sure,
simply because of numbers, size, etc. However, I do think, having spent some time in Mozambique and Tanzania, it could potentially, given the similar size, it could translate into, you know, lessons learned. Because I spent some time in Tet province, which is also a big kind
up
of
in
area.
The north,
yes, and there you could definitely see the port could do with some, you know, radical change. And I think Ghana, given the size, could, you know, they could potentially learn from that. But it takes investment, John. And again, you know, through the series, it's making me realize that, you know, government can only do one part. You actually need private investment to come on board to get things moving.
Yeah. And of course, we need a whole other conversation about roads and rail and the opportunities there, but also the challenges and difficulties. That for another day. Thanks to our Africa correspondent, Crystal Alderson, here on 702.
You can have one or the other is not something we at RNB believe. So, when faced with a conundrum like managed risk or high yield, we say, why not both? In fact, whenever we ask ourselves what the best way is to help our clients thrive, traditional values or innovative ideas, the answer always is, why not both? And diverse talent is how we do it. RMB, traditional values, innovative ideas. RMB is a division of First Strand Bank Limited, an authorized FSP and credit provider.